Amen. Well, welcome again to Antioch Community Church. So glad that you're here to worship with us. My name is Travis Phillips, and I'm the lead pastor. And we are wanting to welcome all you students. Hopefully you found us. If you were with us in years past, we were at a different location when you got done with school in the spring. But I think most of you found us or saw the sign and got down here. So we're glad that you're back. Hope school is going well. Are there any students in the house here tonight? There's a few back, a few new faces as well. So welcome to ASU, to Tempe, and to Antioch Community Church. We are excited about what God is doing in this valley, and we haven't been here that long. We've actually only been here for 2 years. We're celebrating this month 2 years as a church, and we want to celebrate because in celebrating, we want to remember what God has been doing. We want to remember specifically the promises of God. And what he spoke. Last week, if you were here, we talked about the name of our church in Antioch, where it's found in Acts 11 and 13, and why that's our name, and why that is important about who we are and remembering who we are. Also, this week, I want to share with us, for those of you who have been around a while, you've heard this story, but I want to share it with you again. And it's the story of how God has called us here. We moved from a little town called Boston. It actually is pretty small compared to some cities. But we moved here 2 years ago to start this church. There was 9 of us that moved out because we were a part of a great church. There was an Antioch church in Boston. And many of those of us who came out had just been blown away by God and had come alive in God like never before through being a part of this church. And a big part of the vision of Antioch is church planting, is seeing the life that is found in the body of Christ reproduced and started in other churches. And so it was one of the most clear times that I had ever heard God speak to me. And I was sitting in my office, and I had actually been fasting, and I was talking to a guy about ministry stuff and on the phone, a guy that I didn't really know that well, but he had called me, and we were talking about abiding in God and what it looks like to be alive as a and be in ministry. And I remember sitting on the couch in my office after we got off the phone and just thinking on these things. And again, one of the most clear times that I can remember God ever speaking, I just knew that he was saying, Travis, in 3 years, you're going to go plant a church. And it was so clear. There was no audible voice, no thunder, no lightning, anything like that. But it was just this immediately, I knew that God was speaking this to me. And it was no surprise. Like I said, it was a big part of the vision of our church there in Boston. And so it came as no surprise because it's actually something I had wanted to do. I had gotten caught up in this vision of hearing these guys talk about planting churches with some of their closest friends. Just going out and changing the world simply by sharing the love of Jesus in an authentic and passionate way. And so it's something I had wanted to do, but that day in my office marked for me an exciting time of like, this is coming. This is for real. And so, sure enough, about 3 years later, we headed out here. But obviously, there was a process to get here. And obviously, the first question when you feel like God is leading you to go plant a church somewhere is where? You know, where in the world are we supposed to go? Well, it took a little while, and we figured out that we were supposed to do something stateside. Though our heart was torn and about going overseas, but we felt like God was calling us to the United States. And we weren't the kind of people that were like, we've always thought about being in this location or reaching out, you know, to those poor people in the desert because it's so hot and we have a heart for those people and we want to go there and give them water to drink so they're hydrated. There was no like specific thing that we had always felt. And so we just began praying. And the prayer that God put on our heart was a prayer of fertile soil. Now, fertile soil is kind of it's a term that's used in the Bible. If you grew up in church, you might have heard that phrase tossed around. But what it means is that there is it's a place where people are hungry for God, where they're searching, they're looking, they're wanting something more. And so that became our prayer. God, where is the fertile soil? And how in the world are we going to know it? Open our eyes. Help us to see it. We're going somewhere that potentially we've never even been before. How are we going to go visit a place and know that? Well, I came out to Tempe, Arizona. And I had a friend meet me out here, and honestly, at first, I was like, I don't know what I feel about this place. That was my first reaction. I'd never been here, never been to a desert, and it was just different. It wasn't even, and it was June, but they were actually, it was a cold spell. It was only mid-90s, and so that they were saying, you're lucky you came here at a good time, and you know, the houses look very different than from where I'm from, and there's no gravel front yards from where I'm from. It was just very different. I was like, can I raise a family here even? This is just feels so different, so unlike what I'm used to. Then we went down to Mill Ave, and I'm already kind of feeling that. I'm trying to decide what I'm doing with my life here, you know, where I'm going to move my family, and so I just feel all this pressure, and then we're down on Mill, and there's these guys, like young guys, wanting to you know, read our palms and selling incense, and the guy I'm with is just real outgoing, talking to all of them, and I'm like, I don't want to talk to any of these people. I don't know what I'm feeling, and then we were having a conversation, me and my friend, about Mill Ave. Actually, we're standing there on the side of Mill Ave, and we're like, this is kind of weird. There's a weird vibe to this place, because again, we'd interacted with all these different guys. And literally in the middle of our conversation about how weird it was, my friend gets a phone call. And I had never met this guy at that time. I know him now. But he called and said, hey, I knew that you were going to be out there with this guy, and y'all were praying about starting another church out there. These guys had planted a church in San Diego a few years before. And so he said, I was praying for you guys, and I wanted to call you because I felt like God was speaking some things. And he said, I felt like God was saying that the ground that you're standing on is fertile soil. And so all of a sudden, my funk, my bad day is starting to turn. I'm like, wait a second. Yeah, I know that that's kind of a little phrase that can get tossed around, but I've been praying this every day with my wife for 5 or 6 months. God, show us fertile soil. So for somebody to call in the middle of, while I'm standing on the main drag of this city, that's significant. So my ears are open, I'm listening, and the guy goes on, and he says, the reason you're gonna know it's fertile soil because you're gonna see a lot of weird stuff. I'm like, okay, well, we were right in the middle of a conversation discussing the weird stuff we were feeling. And he said, and the reason is that the weird stuff, that the weird spiritual stuff that people get into is also attracted to fertile soil. Because fertile soil is where people are searching, where they're hungry. And so we begin to see that. That the people into these young guys, you know, I was used to in Boston, you know, Madam whoever reading palms, but I wasn't used to the 23-year-old guy and doing the same thing. And so there was just this hunger that we began seeing it in a different way. So my ears are open, my eyes are open. God, what are you saying about this place? Well, we had climbed a mountain earlier that day, and then and just to get a view of the land to pray, and then later in the afternoon we swung by Tempe Library. While I was in the library, I was just flipping through a book. We were only there for a few moments, and I was flipping through a book on Tempe, and I just happened to come across this page, and it was talking about Charles Hayden. A mountain is really called Hayden's Butte because Charles Hayden is the one that founded Tempe, and so he crossed over the Salt River, and he climbed Hayden's Butte, a mountain. And he looked over the desert at what is present-day Tempe, and in this book, this is what he was quoted as saying. This is fertile soil, if only man could get water to it. So here's a guy in the natural, just looking at the desert, and it's not what I would have said if I was looking at the desert. I was uninformed about the desert, but that's not the first thing I would say, that this is fertile soil, if only man could get water to it. Come to find out, the desert soil actually is fertile, because the nutrients haven't been tapped, so it's full of nutrients. There's just no water to bring the life. Well, at that point, there were a couple of things that came flooding back into my mind. Months before we even started praying about fertile soil, Joy and I had carved out some time in our schedule to go over all the things that God had been speaking since he had called us to church plant. Because, you know, you're asking this question, where? I mean, you want to know. You want to know, where are we going? So every day we're praying about, God, where do you want us to go? Where do you want us to go? This is our life. Where are we supposed to move? Oh my goodness, where are we going? And so we've been praying this, and so we got together, and we began to list out all the things that we feel like God had kind of been speaking, or verses that had stood out to us. And we had about 40 or 50 things that we listed out. Well, two of them, both of us had. Separate of one another, we felt like God was highlighting these two things. And those are the two things that came flooding back to my mind after reading this quote from Charles Hayden, that this land is fertile soil if only man could get water to it. And the first thing was this phrase, you're called to be streams of living water in the desert. Streams of living water in the desert. And, you know, you would think, oh, these are significant things. Both of them are hearing them, but we had forgotten them, honestly. I mean, we had put them on the shelf and like, we don't know what that means, because when we heard that word, Arizona was so far off the radar that I mean, I wasn't never been here, wasn't thinking about it. So we were thinking, oh yeah, like a spiritually dry desert, you know, it's spiritually dry. They need more of the good news of Jesus or all that kind of stuff. So we're like, okay, that's great. Where is that? And so that word came flooding back to me. And immediately I'm like, oh God, are you calling us to be streams of living water in the literal desert? Like, is this what you're saying? That you are calling us to the literal desert to bring streams of living water? And it was at that moment, I mean, God continued to just confirm it and to speak to us, but it really was at that moment that I was pretty confident that God was saying, this is the fertile soil that I'm calling you to. And the second picture, just because you're probably curious, the second part of that was this picture of a sunrise. So every time we would close our eyes to pray, our eyes would close and we would have this mental image of a sunrise, and both of us. And we described it to each other, and it was almost identical. So it was like, okay, this got to be God. We're going to remember this. Of course, we forgot it, but we remembered again later. And so a picture of the sunrise. Then all of a sudden, I started realizing, oh wow, the sun is everywhere. It's like on license plates and flags, the ASU logo. I learned that this is the Valley of the Sun, and it has some of the most beautiful sunrises and sunsets in the world. So it was those kind of confirmations that God just continued to pour on, saying that this is where I'm calling you to be streams of living water, and that this is fertile soil. Shortly thereafter, God started using Isaiah 35 to really speak to us. And I want you to turn there tonight. If you have your Bibles, turn about to the middle of the Bible and a few pages to the right, and you should be about in Isaiah 35. And this has great significance for who we are as a church. And so I want us to speak of it tonight, because we want to know who we are. We want to know what God has called us to. And so this is a great picture of that. And it's going to answer a few questions for us. Isaiah 35, I want to begin reading in verse 1 and read through verse 7. It says, the desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it. The splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be open, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. So what does it look like for streams of living water to hit the fertile soil of the desert? What does it look like when streams of living water come in and hit the fertile soil of the desert? And this is the picture for us. This is what our expectation is. Because God has already said that this is fertile soil. So we're already going on that. That's not even something we're praying. God, let this be fertile soil. He has already said it. So what is our expectation first of the fertile soil? And it is this, that things will come to life. That where there was dry ground, where it was parched land, there will be what does it say in verses 7? The sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. So there is, when water hits the desert, life begins to happen. And it says where there once was haunts of jackals, there's now grass and reeds and papyrus. Things are growing. Water hits the desert soil and life springs up. Life springs up. And it's described in the first couple of verses there as bringing rejoicing and joy to the desert. And it also states that it brings this great glory to the desert. And it talks about Carmel and Sharon, which were these majestic mountains back in biblical times. And this talks about the cedars of Lebanon, which were these grand cedar trees that were often used to describe the glory of God. And so it talks about the desert becoming this glorious place that has been transformed. This place where there once was dry ground, but now with the water, there's life. So that's what our expectation is. That's what we can expect. And I wanted to try to think of what is a way to feel that, to describe that. Because it's like, okay, I get that. Like, I can kind of picture a dry ground with cracks getting wet and the cracks going away and there being a little pool there. But this is where it really becomes real life. And I want to give an analogy of depression. So I want you to picture this with me. That I am enslaved to depression. That the day is rare when I even want to pick my head up off the pillow. That I feel shackled by despair. There's not a lingering shred of hope in my entire body. I don't feel anything. I am beyond even being overwhelmed by my own pain. It's like my eyes are glazed over, that I'm oblivious to anyone and everything around me. Isolation is like a noose around my neck. Fear is paralyzing. Insecurity is the norm. This is my desert. This is my dry ground. It's like I'm hovered in the corner of a prison, only to be freed by something with great power. And then one day that power comes, and his name is Jesus. He is like a stream to my dry ground. And his love is poured out on me like a spring rain. It is the key that unlocks the prison that I've dwelt in for so long. Every morning has now become a new day. The shackles of my despair have been broken by hope. I am free from what used to be overwhelming to me. I'm not overwhelmed by my pain. I'm overwhelmed by his pain for me. I can clearly see and give life to others rather than taking from it, because I'm alive, because I am secure. I'm even confident in who I am and who I have been created to be because of him. I'm alive. I am alive. This is my bubbling spring. This is my stream in the desert. And that is the picture of transformation, of a life that is forever changed, that was a dry place, that had no life, that when the water of God, the person of Jesus, comes into contact with them, everything is different. Everything is different, and there is joy, and there is life springing up from that place. And so if that's my expectation, if that's the picture of God's rain coming on dry places, on hitting fertile soil, then how do I bring application to this whole process? If that's my expectation, I want to move beyond that and be right in the middle of seeing it happen. So how do I apply my life in light of the promise of fertile soil? And that's where verses 3 through 6 really come into light. It says, strengthen the feeble hands. So this is what we want to do. We want to be those that strengthen the feeble hands. Those that are disenfranchised, that have been pushed to the outskirts of society, that are just hit a rough spot in life. They are overwhelmed. They are poor. They can't get back on their feet. That we would come in, and we, with the strength that God gives, would come and strengthen the feeble hands. That we would come in and that we would steady the knees that give way. Those that are feeling the pressures of life. Those that are being overwhelmed by all that seems to be against them. That we would come in with a hope, a deep hope that would steady the weary knees. And then we would speak. And we would say to those with fearful hearts, do not fear. God is here. He is coming. He will save you. And so those that we find that are in fear of the unknown, of the unexpected, that we would be able to speak to them out of the place that we've experienced in the love of God, that there is hope and you don't have to fear today because there is a God who loves you. And so we speak to the place of fear. And so we bring that in. And not only do we do that, but we believe for the supernatural. We don't do it simply in our own power, but we believe for God to move. It goes on here and says, we believe for the eyes of the blind to be opened, that when God moves in this way, the ears of the deaf are unstopped, that the lame leap like a deer, that the mute tongue shouts for joy. There's something of complete transformation going on here, life springing up in the desert. And we want to be a part of it. We absolutely want to be a part of it. And as I was preparing, I thought of dear friends of ours, Ian and Jessica. And a lot of you guys were able to get to know Ian and Jessica over the last couple of years. Ian worked for the government in South Korea. And he was here at ASU for a graduate program that he had been sent over to complete. And they became a part of our church. For years, they had been trying to become pregnant. And she had been diagnosed with a problem that caused her to not be able to have children. And so they had gone through IVF more than once trying to be pregnant. It was their deepest desire to have kids. And we gathered around them. They're part of a life group. And we began to pray with them because they wanted it and they were praying. And so we gathered around them to pray, believing that they were going to have children. And so we began to pray. We would huddle around them at life group. People cried over them, just believing that they could have kids. Well, about a year into them being a part of our church, Jessica became pregnant. And we began to rejoice, and we were so excited. I mean, God, it was just so exciting for them, obviously, so exciting for our church, the life group, to get to be a part of this miracle of God, defying what all the doctors thought was possible. And then we actually had to come in and speak life, because there was great fear that came in, because there's such a fragility at the beginning of life. And so we just were strengthening the feeble hands, you know, steadying weary knees. And about 3 months before they had to move back and finish the program, Jessica gave birth. And we got to rejoice with this healthy baby. And it was a miracle because God said that this place is fertile soil. And it's not a place of infertility. And that's kind of what we said. This is not a place of infertility. God said this is fertile soil. So you're here. Why don't you be fertile too in the natural? Let's do it. And we're going to believe God because he said that this is fertile soil, and we want to apply faith. We want to apply the water that would help life spring up. And so we want to pray with you. We want to journey with you in this. And so it's very practical. It's not just some like, oh yeah, we live in a desert, so let's read about all the desert passages in Isaiah. It's like, you know, God really wants to do something in this way, and I could share other stories, but I'll save them for another time, because God is bringing life to the desert. He's bringing life to dry places. And the last thing I want to share gets a little more personal. In a good way. So don't be scared. In a good way. Because one thing that I feel like God was really highlighting tonight was this area of what does it mean for me? Like, that's exciting, and I love that story about Ian and Jessica, and I think I can get excited, even if this, you know, I've been here a week for some of you guys or whatever, I think I can get excited about God moving here or moving on my campus or those different kinds of things, but what does that look like for me? And not in a selfish way, but just what does that look like for me to live in a place that has fertile soil? What can I expect for my own life? And what I want to read are the last three verses of Isaiah 35. It says, and a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. The unclean will not journey on it. It will be for those who walk in that way. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor will any ferocious beast get up on it. They will not be found there. But only the redeemed will walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them. And sorrow and sighing will flee away. And so there's this place. There's this place that I believe that God wants to introduce you to. Because when we find ourselves on a place of fertile soil, and we begin to see people coming to life, when we begin to feel our own soul coming alive in a new way, and maybe you even felt that when we were worshiping before, our prayer each week is that the presence of God would be here. And I know that when people sense the presence of God, that they're drawn to Him. And when we're drawn to Him, we move to this place of holiness. Holiness really just means being set apart. Being set apart for God. It's saying, I want to be His. I want to be a part of what He is doing. I've got other things, of course, going on in my life, and I've got studies, I've got this job, I've got family, but I want to be His. I want to be known as His. As just His kid. I want to be with Him, and that causes us to want to be holy, to hunger and thirst after righteousness, to be in that place. And it's a good place. And I love the way that Isaiah describes it. It's this place, and he calls it a highway. So it's not some obscure road that you have to try to find that God's kind of hiding from you. It's a highway. There's markers, there's signs, they're showing you how to get there. God wants you to be there. In fact, there's an invitation this evening for you to come to this place of holiness. And it says about this place that wicked fools will not go about on it, that the unclean will not journey on it, that the lion, that there will be no lion there, no ferocious beast found there. And let me describe to you how I see that. That's not at all to say that you are separated from the pain of this world. That doesn't mean that we don't enter into the fray of people's lives, into the messiness of life. Because when we're talking about strengthening feeble hands, steadying weary knees, that can sometimes be difficult. That can look a little messy. It can be hard because it's people and we've all got issues. And so we're called to enter into the fray. And sometimes it's hard. But there is a place. There's a place that you can know, that you can dwell. It's a place, think about it like a kid in their dad's lap. Life may be hard, things are tough at school, but my daughter can always run in and sit on my lap. And I hope that when she comes and sits on my lap, it's a safe place. That the names that she was called at school or the something that was said to her, none of that matters anymore because she knows that her dad loves her, that he thinks the world of her. And in that place, I draw her near. And I speak the truth over her, that she is beautiful, that there is no one like her. that there's no other kindergartner in the world as cute as her. You know, all those kind of things. Speaking that. And it's this place that God has for you and for me. And it's on that place that there's no ferocious beast. There's no people coming against you. It's a place where your God is just speaking his loving affirmation to you. Your father. That's what God calls himself, as a father. And so he has this place for you. And it says the redeemed will walk there. So if you know Jesus, if you're saying, yes, I'm a follower of Jesus, it's a place for you. And the invitation is open to all who would say, I desire to know him, to walk with this Jesus. It says the ransom of the Lord will then return. They will return with singing. And everlasting joy will crown their heads. And so joy is what will mark you. The crown of joy is what people will see when they come upon you. And it's just this joy. Because you found this place with God that's good. And it's this real place that maybe you just, when you wake up in the morning, you're spending 15 minutes with God and just saying, God, I just want to sit with you. And he speaks to you, and it's a hard day coming up, but he's just like, man, I've got joy. I was feeling discouraged. I was feeling stressed out, and there's still a lot to do, but now the crown I have on is not stress. It is not expectation of what I'm supposed to, it's just joy. Because God is good, and he's with me, and so I'm crowned with joy. And gladness and joy will overtake me. So instead of the stresses, instead of the deadlines, instead of whatever else that's usually overwhelming us, we're overwhelmed with gladness and joy. It's the opposite of what we usually find ourselves overwhelmed with. But when we find this place in God, he says, this is what it's going to look like. You're going to be overwhelmed. You're going to be overcome with gladness and joy. And the last thing he says is that sorrow and sighing will flee. They will flee away. That the sorrow will flee, the sighing will flee, and we'll walk in gladness and joy. That is what we expect. It sounds like a good place. It sounds like a good place, and it is. And we want to go there. It's the place that we want to live, the place that we want to dwell. It's the place that God is inviting you. And so, Lord Jesus, we welcome you here in this room. We know that you are here. That you are pursuing us, that there is not one person that is here by accident. But that there is something that you are wanting to speak. And so, Lord, we want to receive from you. God, you're so good. We know that you have life in the middle of the desert. And we thank you for it, God. We always end our service, our time together, with a time of response. And honestly, I believe that it's one of the most important times that we have. Because it keeps us from just sitting here and hearing some things and then just leaving and forgetting about it. But it's a time that's carved out to respond to him. Say, okay, God, yeah, that made sense. What am I supposed to do with it? Or I'm being stirred. I feel like I wanna live in that place that he was describing. God, how do I do that? And allow him to speak to you. We always open up the front for anybody that wants to just come and kneel down and pray. You're welcome to come forward and do that. You're welcome to come forward and just kneel before God and say, God, I want to live in that place. For some of you, you might be saying, I want to be that vessel that is holy, set apart for God, that his life-giving water would flow through me to this land. I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of seeing this water flow to the desert. And some of you are just saying, I just need some water. I feel so dry, so thirsty. And I feel like this is what God would say to you. That as you receive this water from him, that you will flourish. That you will flourish. That you will come out from underneath that which you have been trapped under. You will come out from under that which you've been trapped beneath. You feel like I'm trapped. I can't get out from underneath this situation or this obstacle in my life. God wants to bring you out from underneath it tonight. When you receive that water, I believe that you will discover who you are, who you were created to be. Maybe for the first time. Yeah, this is who I am. This is what I was purposed for. And that you will find peace. You'll find peace in Jesus. You'll just find peace there. It's like someone who takes all the trophies off their shelf that represent the achievements of their life, and they just throw them on the ground. And in it, they're declaring that I'm not putting my hope, I'm not putting my sense of worth or success in my accomplishments anymore. I'm going to God and what He thinks about me. Because I believe my fulfillment, satisfaction will be found in Him. And so God wants to bring you to that place of life tonight. He wants to bring you to a place of transformation. Complete and whole transformation. So Lord, we invite you to do that tonight as we respond to you. So let's stand together. And as we stand again, you're welcome to come to the front to